I'd just like to say quickly that we went through, during the course of the year preparing for this session, we struggled. We honestly, this is the thing, to be honest, this is the first year that we had such a struggle. Personally, one of my concerns has been that as young adults, that we need to minister to your needs where you are. And there are many needs we can talk about. We don't have the time right now to go into all of them. But as we have gone through this particular study, the first in chapter 1, where it speaks about having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. What spoke to my heart, and I knew this verse, was that the word of God that we have, that this book, the word of God, is going to endure forever. Everything else out here, you go outside and put your foot on the ground, that's going to go. But this is not going to, this is going to abide forever. God used it. And something that really came home to my heart was that God uses his word to bring about that new birth. And also to sustain our life, as it were. That's, if you read it, the other portion into chapter 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. That is what I, to be honest with you, I got that in my heart. Something that we didn't talk about was the fact that in between there was a talk about this, the glory of man, like a flower and grass and so on. Things grow up, the flower grows up, it looks pretty for a short period of time, and then it wilts. That's what goes on in this world. A second thought that jumped out to me, and I've highlighted it, is in a day, I forget which day it was, chapter 3. And this is so critical. We've talked about this today. Chapter 3, verse 15. I forget which day it was. Somebody can remind me. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Mm. The translation I have says this: sanctify Christ as Lord. That is critical. Sanctify, set him apart. Mm-hmm. He is Lord. But in my heart, and this is something I'm very concerned about. This I'm bore you by saying this again. We can have a lot of knowledge up here, but what really matters is down here. So sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be always ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And I'm going to stop there, but we have a real hope because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And there are people out there we mingle with who have no hope. You talk to them, they have no hope. I will stop. They have no hope. We have it.
I'd like to just carry on that thought about sanctification. We spoke about being pilgrims and strangers, and we spoke about sanctifying the Lord your God, but I think it goes even further than that. It's just not setting him apart, but it's setting him as first. Mm-hmm. And I was going back in my mind to the rebuke that he had to the church, I believe, of Ephesus in Revelation, where you have lost your first love. It's not just setting aside a special time for the Lord. It is making him first in everything that we do, mm-hmm. that he might in everything have the preeminence.
Talking about when you mentioned the word and needing it daily, and when we read of the word, we read of the washing of the water of the word. Mm-hmm. And in John 19, when Christ's side was pierced, what flowed out? There was blood. There was the legal requirement was paid in his blood. There was the blood, and then there was the water. it's a thing that me and Ben talk about. So we have the blood that paid for the legal requirement. We have the water. So we see that our justification, and then we see our sanctification. So daily, we need the washing of the water of the word. We need to wash our feet. We need to constantly be in the word for this.
Ben, you have something to say?
Time for one or two more remarks.
I did like the idea of having, like, doing spiritual sacrifices, like, throughout your day? Like, just walking down the street and, you know, praying, or, like, you know, figuring out, thinking about, I forget all the specifics here, but, yeah, so, you know, being subject to authority, you know, prayer, we're supposed to be prayerful, yeah, oversight and care. I have that written down, but I'm not sure. But no, it's just like that, you know, that constant focus on God is, I guess, was something that was good to hear in another form, and I hadn't really heard it in that way. So I guess, yeah.
Usually when I read 1 Peter, especially chapter 2, verse 9, the idea of the royal priesthood, that usually sticks in my head the most. And the reason I say that is we know that, I mean, most of us come from the Brethren Assembly. We don't operate with a pastor or a priest or that one-man ministry type role. A lot of my friends will come up to me and they'll ask me, you know, how does your church operate? How does it run? First thing I'll tell them is, well, we don't have a priest or one man running the show. Right? Because from the verse, what we read here, we are all a royal priesthood. Right? Every believer, man or woman, I believe, is considered a priest, a royal priest. So, and you look in the Old Testament, in the book, the tribe of Levi. They were set apart by God as the priestly tribe. And usually the high priest, he came from the family of Aaron, right? And we know that the Holy of Holies was separated by the veil. Now, when you look at when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, one of the first things that comes after his death is the veil was torn from top to bottom, right? The fact that it was torn from top to bottom just shows that it was God who has now, you know, kind of removed that old system, that whole a high priest having that whole system of the Old Testament, and now we have free access into God, right? We don't need an earthly mediator here, right? We have the Lord Jesus, who is our high priest. So it's a beautiful thought to think about, that we are all considered, you know, priests now. We don't need to rely on man to be mediator for us. So
maybe I could just say one more thing about that verse too. I was just thinking, we kind of talked a little bit this week about the idea of our identity and things like that. And I was thinking, you know, how we come up with our identity has a lot to do with how old we are or what country we come from or what our job is. And really, in verse 9, everything that I could possibly use to create my own identity is already found in Christ. My generation's found in Christ. My occupation, I'm a priest. My nation, my nationality is found in Christ. Even people of his own another version has peculiar people. Even my character is all found in Christ. And as Joe said before, and on top of all of those things, we have Christ as the royal priest, as our king, all of these things. So our entire identity is lost in this world, but can be entirely found in Christ. Amen. Which is pretty neat.
That's good.
I think it's wonderful to summarize things in the ways that all of you have mentioned. I remember a brother saying that he used to hear sometimes Christians sing a song, maybe it's from a few decades back, and it would say, "I am nothing, nothing, nothing." And it was the Christian way of saying, you know, I want to be nothing. But then he would say, God doesn't want sanctified nothings. He has given us identity. And I think it's really wonderful how, as has been expressed by the comments just that we've heard now, God gave us a name. God gave us a people. God gave us an identity.
I don't have to piggyback on what you were saying too. Like, that's really great to have that in your head, because like when stuff starts going south for you in your life, like when you like lose your job or whatever, you know, a lot of times the tendency is to identify with your work and the stuff that you accomplished. And if God gave it all to us for free, you know, as long as we keep that, if we lose track of that, we'll have a crisis, another, even more so. And you know, that's just going to lead to destruction of yourself and everything. So I think that's a good thing to really keep in mind throughout your life.
Not only your loss of your job, but we all make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we let our failures mm-hmm. identify who we are. Mm-hmm. And our failures are not who we are. Mm-hmm. And so we need to come back when we confess it. He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we need to come back and realize, you know what? This is who I am. Yeah. This is who I am. And that gives you so much spiritual power. And that's what I think the whole key mm-hmm. of this study is, that our spiritual power comes from Christ and comes from the Holy Spirit living in us. And it's His power through us. But when we recognize who we are, that gives us the ability to live it out. Mm-hmm. So it's not just the circumstances around us, but even our own mistakes rise up, confess it, realize who we are, and move on.
Amen. So now, when we started with David, I'd like to end with David. But now, instead of thinking of David as God or the Lord Jesus who has chosen, I say we have to be like David. And it's this way: choose out the things from our time together, put them in your pouch. You won't be able to carry with you the 50 or 100 or 125 comments that have been part of our 5 days together, 5 studies together. You take a few things. You take the things that have been smoothed out by the action of discussion and your thought through the help of the Lord, and you put them in your pouch, because you're going to face Goliath, right? We're leaving today, we're leaving tomorrow, whichever time it is. And some of you are going to very difficult circumstances, some of you are going to very pleasant circumstances, and suddenly they'll become difficult. But you take some stones in your pouch, and God will give trajectory and force to those stones so that they will be useful for each one of us when we face the obstacles of life in this world. Let's close with prayer.